Good morning. This is a special day. Hope all the mothers here will be encouraged by the end of this day in a small way or a big way, but just encouraged. Your role is so very important in the eyes of the Lord and everybody else. So thank you for what you do. I want to begin today first with a prayer. Our Father, as we're here today, we thank you that you're here with us. And Lord, we're just grateful to you for your loving compassion, your kindness. We thank you, Lord, for your holiness, your purity. Thank you that we can esteem all your words to be right. And Lord, thank you for that. And we ask you, Lord, today to guide us, to speak to us by your Spirit, as you know our hearts, you know our needs, and you're quite capable of addressing those. We pray that you would do that today through your holy word, and we'll trust you to do that. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, he grew up in a poor single-parent home in Detroit back in the 60s. But he went on to graduate from the University of Michigan and also from Yale en route to a three-decade career at Johns Hopkins Medical Center in Baltimore. And in 1987, he became the first doctor to successfully separate twins who were conjoined at the head. He went on to become the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins and later received the Presidential Medal of Honor in 2008. Later, he became a candidate for president of the United States and was appointed later to Secretary of Housing and Urban Development. And maybe you've already guessed it, but I'm speaking of Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson. And, you know, he was asked, through his vast achievements and so forth, he was asked, so to what do you attribute your success? And so he wrote an essay, and the title of the essay was this, that there was no job more important than parenting. And the essay was about, the influence of his mother on his life. And he wrote, because Carson's a believer, and so is his mother, but over the years, my mother's steadfast faith in God has inspired me, particularly when I had to perform an extremely difficult surgical procedures or when I had my own health scare recently. He said, a few years ago, I discovered that I had a very aggressive form of prostate cancer, and I was also told that it may have spread to my spine. Well, he said, my mother was steadfast in her faith in God. She never worried. She said that God was not through with me yet, and that there was no way that this was going to be a major problem. Well, the abnormality in my spine turned out to be benign, and I was able to have surgery, and I am cured. But my story is really my mother's story. A woman with little formal education or worldly goods, who used her position as a parent to change the lives of many people, ultimately around the globe. You know, it's interesting to note that he says that his story is really his mother's story. Her faith and her courage, they're largely responsible for who he is. And so this Mother's Day, let's take a look at another mother whose legacy really changed the world. And so we're in Exodus chapter 2, and we're going to look at a really special mother. Now, from other passages in Scripture, we know her name to be Jochebed. But let's take a look here at Exodus 2 and look at the, we'll just start in verse 1 and we'll take little bits of it at a time. But he says here, "Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son." And the first thing we want to see about Jochebed is that she had a dilemma. She had a dilemma, a hard situation, and she was faced with choices. And it was a threatening situation. See, she was living in a hostile and an ungodly environment there in Egypt, and her life had been no picnic. In fact, she was born in Egypt as a daughter of Levi, a descendant of Levi, and she had known only the curse of slavery her whole life. And she lived in a time when the Egyptians were threatened by the growing Hebrew population, and so they purposely and intentionally subjugated them in the most cruel way. The New Living Translation puts it this way, that the Egyptians worked the people of Israel without mercy, and they made them their lives bitter, forcing them to mix mortar and make bricks and do all the work in the fields as well. So they were ruthless in all their demands. So it was a tough world to live in for Jochebed. But she didn't surrender to the pressure or the hopelessness. Even when Pharaoh made his horrible decree, which you see in the last verse there in chapter 1, he made the horrible decree that all the male babies would be thrown into the crocodile-infested Nile River. And so, it was a threatening situation, and she had a dilemma. And she had a dilemma because she had limited options. She had limited options. See, disobedience to Pharaoh's edict, that is not having her son thrown into the Nile and eaten by a crocodile or whatever, drowned. Disobedience could cost her life as well as ultimately her son's life. But on the other hand, obedience to the edict would definitely cost her son's life. Now, I'm sure you mothers here today, you've come across dilemmas. Have you ever had a dilemma in your life as a mom? Every other day, maybe every day, maybe every 10 minutes. I don't know. But, it's hard. Dilemmas, you know, what do I do? How do I make this decision? Some of them are rather minor in their implications. Others are major. And so, you know, decisions where either way things could go awry. But raising children to live God honoring lives in this threatening world, you know, you're not left to yourself. You're not left to yourself because in the task, because like Jochebed, you have an almighty resource, who loves your children more even than you do. And that can bring the strength that Jochebed had. Moms, remember this. Remember what the psalmist told us. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Amen. Jochebed had a dilemma, but you know, she also had courage. She also had courage. Look at the second part of verse 2. It says, "When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister, that is the baby's sister, which we know to be Miriam, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him." Well, you know, this was a risky situation because she wasn't doing what Pharaoh said to do. So she needed the courage to do the right things because the order that had been given, the edict, was so inhumane and so immoral, she just couldn't bring herself to do that. You know, the apostles later, more than 1,000 years later, a couple thousand years later, the apostles would be faced with a similar choice. and you know, to stop preaching Jesus, to stop telling people that Jesus was the Son of God and he came to earth to die on a cross and then to rise again and offer forgiveness and salvation to anybody who would put their trust in him. And the religious leaders told him, you've got to stop doing that. And you know what they said? They said, you know, we ought to obey God rather than men. And sometimes we're going to be faced, and we have been faced, with situations just like that. And, you know, it takes courage. So because she feared God more than she feared man, she made a decision. She made a decision that would ultimately save her people, Israel. She needed the courage to be a mother. And so do you. It takes courage to be a mother. It takes courage. And where would she get it? And where did she get it? Well, it was a byproduct of her faith. How do we know that? Well, she stood on faith to do the right thing. And the writer of Hebrews tells us where, you know, how we know that. It says, by faith, Moses, when he had been born, was hid 3 months by his parents, his mother and his father, because they saw that he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. You see, this was a pleasing thing they did for God, because we know the scripture tells us that, you know, without faith, it's impossible to please God, which implies, of course, that with faith, it is possible to please God. God loves it when we trust him and trust what he said and act on that. He loves it, and it pleases him. God was able to work in this situation as a result of Jochebed's faith. And as children were being murdered around her each day, it was as if she simply said, God, I don't know. I don't understand why you're allowing all this or what your plan is, but I know you. I know you. Here is my son. I put him in the basket. I entrust him to you. You know, the scripture tells us that the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. It doesn't mean bad things won't happen. Doesn't mean that life's going to be easy, but it does mean you'll be safe. It does mean that ultimately God has you. He's got you. And he's going to work it through and work it out. And so, rather than responding in fear to the edict, she put her faith in the Lord. And you know, the kind of faith that she exercised is the kind you can have too. Faith in the Lord and what he has said in here, and believing what he said and acting on that, that we can all have. And you know, you might be here today, you know, facing a seemingly impossible situation, and you might feel like, you know what, my faith is kind of withered, it's weak, and it's, you know, slumping over. You can do something about that. You know, we're told in the scriptures that faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And if your faith needs some fortification, it needs some fertilizer, it's in the Word of God. Somehow God, the Holy Spirit, takes this and he uses it in your heart to create faith. That is, trust in the one who wrote this, and it rearranges the way your perspective is about whatever difficult situation you might be in. And they come like all the time. And so faith is, the faith she had is the faith actually all of us can have. And her courageous faith, it also gave her a willingness to take risks. See, she had done something very risky. She actually even put her daughter out there to watch. I mean, she was kind of risky even for Miriam in a way, although Miriam might not have even felt the risk part of it. But she did something very, she made that boat, and she, out of reeds, she put it and set Moses in it, in the reeds along the river. But, and she put Miriam out there close enough by to keep an eye on the little boat and its precious cargo. But Jacob had probably thought that she'd never see her son again. Right? But she entrusted Moses into God's hands. You know, better to endure not seeing him again than to have him lose his life. Christian moms, you know, are called upon to take risks, especially today in our country. There's risks to mom. Excuse me. We and our children and our grandchildren live in an increasingly hostile environment to Christianity and a biblical worldview. Moms may not face the same kind of threats Jochebed did, at least not in our country anyway. But moms do run the risk of being marginalized in our community, in our society. Marginalized as being narrow or bigoted or just plain weird, you know. Just plain weird. And if she guides her children in to follow Christ instead of the value system the culture embraces, you know, it won't be looked upon favorably. Pressures also are increasingly coming through government policies in this culture of confusion that is rapidly turning away from God. I mean, it's just the way it is. And it's a threatening situation. And to resist the pressures can risk losing relationships and also be detrimental to how people look at you. And you think, well, so what? Well, it's easier to say so what than it is to live so what. Because it can be difficult in communities, it can be difficult in extended family, and it can be hard to deal with those things. And sometimes the decisions are very difficult. So it takes risks to say, you know what, I'm going to trust God and do the right thing. Also, there's risks to children. Your children, you know, need your protective guidance. And it's possible, but can be very difficult to control the input of other values and ideas that are anti-God, anti-Christianity, anti-church, with access, you know, to social media and the internet in general. I mean, information is just from all anywhere in the world, you know, it's right there and it's accessible. And there are most of the world, I don't need to really say this, are not born again believers who believe the word of God. And so our kids, you know, they're going to be exposed to all those other ideas. It is, by the way, I'll say this again, it's difficult, but it certainly is possible, you know, to regulate that in phones and computers and such. But these threats compound the difficulty of your task. And at some point, there will be risk. My microphone just fell apart here. So, sorry, I guess I didn't put it on right. But anyway, I'll just hold it. How's that? There will be risks. And part of the risk is that, you know, our kids don't necessarily, they might not hold to the values and the truth that you've worked so hard to, we're being rescued here. I knew this was risky, so.
Go ahead, get on.
Okay.
Yep, 41.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Well, it feels good to be, looked after, right? You run the risk that, you know what? They might not hold to the values and the truths that I taught them. I worked hard at that. It's hard work. It is difficult work. And over years, especially, you know, as they're younger. But children, moms and grandmoms, you know, seek to instill those values in their kids and their grandkids. And ultimately they make, though, you know, of course, their own choice, right? They make their own choices about what they're going to believe and how they're going to live. But you know what, moms? Keep doing the right thing despite the risks. Keep doing the right thing. And this all reminds me of a movie that I saw recently in the theaters. It's a movie called Life Mark, and it's a true story of a mother who made a courageous decision to give up her baby to adoption, taking the risk that she'd never see her child again. And, you know, what happens? Well, you'll have to watch the movie if you haven't watched it. Watch the movie and you'll find out what happens. But God worked in a marvelous way in this situation. And I highly recommend it, by the way. So does my wife, right? Yes, she said. Just getting her agreement there. It's a great movie. And Kirk Cameron, who he's an outspoken Christian, but he I think he's the main character and one of the main characters in the movie, and also is a director, I think, of the movie. But it's interesting that he and his wife also have adopted children. So anyway, something. But you know what? The mom who gave her child up, she took a risk. And well, you'll have to again watch the movie to see how it turns out. So it involves risk and the willingness to take risk, and God, and faith in the Lord and what he says will enable you to do that. One final word before we move on from this and finish up. Jochebed's faith in God gave her the courage that she needed, right? But I'm sure that the support and faith of her husband to save the child, despite the risk, was a huge help. And I think sometimes, you know, we husbands miss the fact that walking by faith or living by faith is something that husbands and wives do together. They do it together. And when God comes through, you know, and he responds to the faith, what happens is that the faith then of both of them is made stronger. And equally important is that the bond between each of them and between both of them also becomes stronger when that faith is a partnership in trusting God with our children. So guys, you know, we play a big role in helping our mothers, the mothers of our children, in their godly character. Well, was it worth it? Look at verse 5. And by the way, your outline says 5 through 8. But that is a mistake. The second mistake I've made this year. And it's 5 through 10. Okay, for what that's worth. But anyway, then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. Now, she saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her female slave to get it. And she opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister, Miriam, and not only was Miriam watching, but she was close enough to hear, you know, what she saw Pharaoh's daughter come down to the river, to hear what she had to say. And so then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" Boy, that took courage, didn't it, too? "Yes, go," she said. And so the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of water." Listen, God responded to Jochebed's faith in a marvelous way by providing an answer to the dilemma that she faced, the seeming impossible situation. You know, first, and I left A through D blank on there. You can write in there whatever you like. Because I really hadn't had this finished yet. But anyway, Pharaoh's daughter just happened to show up, right? Was God at work here? Well, Pharaoh's daughter just happens to show up. The only one that really could have a chance at taking care of this baby, right? And safely. I'm sure she had a little bit of pull with Pharaoh. In fact, maybe he eventually probably found out. But Miriam just happened to be there to offer Pharaoh's daughter assistance, right? It's amazing how these coincidences come when we put our faith in God, right? See, not only this, but Jochebed got to spend a few more years with her son, right? Safely, right? Without having to hide. And to top it off, she, a slave, got paid for it. Isn't that just like God? And finally, look, her son just happened to grow up in the safety of the palace of the very ruler that had sentenced him to death. Isn't that incredible? Listen, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible with God. The threats and the circumstances and the dangers and the it can never work, all of that stuff is God cuts through it all. He's not bound or restrained by any of it. The same is true of us. It requires us to believe Him and to put our trust in what He said. But nothing's too hard for Him. See, only God could do this. Only God. And God can provide what we could never arrange or engineer by our own efforts or our own skills. Moms, this is hope for you who are concerned about the threatening circumstances that your children find themselves in. Than did you find them in. He is Lord over circumstances that can provide protection and solutions that we could never foresee. Let's not limit God by our imaginations or even our logic. So don't lose hope. Don't lose hope about the well-being of your children. Be diligent to do your best, what you can do. Then lean on His promises and trust the one who can make a way where there is no way. Amen. Listen, Jochebed lived out her faith, just to finish up. She lived out her faith in threatening times. Her son's life went on to change the course of history, did it not? He's the one that led him out of Egypt, right? He's the one that had been, by the way, trained in the Egyptian culture and laws and everything, and he could communicate in Egyptian, you know, and so forth, even though he didn't think he could. Anyway, and, you know, only God could do this. And so her son's wife went on to change the course of history. Can you think of anyone else in the world that has more potential for positive influence on a child or a grandchild than a mother does? And you might be here saying, well, man, I made some mistakes and things in the past. That's okay. God isn't limited by your mistakes. Just stop. Put your faith in Him. Lay it out before Him and see what He'll do. See what He'll do. Jochebed, imperfect as I'm sure she was, and is as inadequate as she probably felt in, the situation. She was a godly mother who, by faith, did the best she could and then turned it over to God. It is so good to know the Lord, is it not? Yeah. Mothers, we honor you today. Thank you for your hard work. I know, especially if you've got young children, sometimes it feels like sleep is something you do later in life. And it's difficult and it's exhausting and it requires patience and it requires persistence and all of this stuff. It's hard work, but there is no more important work. You know, the world kind of denigrates that as being, well, you can't do anything else, so I guess that's why you're staying home with your children or whatever. Look, I know some moms need to work. I understand that. It's important work. It's more important than much of what the world thinks is important. Yeah. So, hey, mothers, we honor you today. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for your hard work and the influence and the place of influence that God has put you in. And, you know, lean on Him for the strength and the wisdom and what you need, you know, to do this. And husbands and dads, if, you know, help them do it. Support her and encourage her and back her up and partner with her in this. But moms, we thank God for you today and what you do. Keep trusting God. Keep trusting Him. Let's pray. God, thank you for passage of scripture for this mom, Jochebed. She's not spoken of much in scripture, and yet, look what you did through her. You did a lot more through her than you did with other people that you mention a lot in scripture. And you see, nobody is obscure in your eyes. Nobody is obscure, and there's no respecter of persons. There's nobody who you love more or pay attention to more. We're all there. And I pray for the moms today that you would encourage them in their task. And maybe this week when they're at their wit's end with a situation or a dilemma or just losing their patience is frayed, encourage them, Father, I pray. Help them to look to you and to trust you. Come through for them, Lord. Strengthen them. Encourage them in their work. Bless them, Lord, in their influence and bring joy to their hearts. Even though there will be lots of sorrow along the way too, I'm sure, but there's much more joy. So, Lord, help them and encourage them today. In Jesus' name, amen.